So our ladies are gone. They're on retreat, and they're looking at God's beautiful design for women. So I thought that we would look here at by becoming God's man, although it's not really becoming God's man. This is the same if you're becoming God's woman or man. But I just titled it that way as we went. I think I had one lady who said, I'm going to be the only woman here, but you're not. We've got several others, so that's good. Becoming what God wants you to be. It's what they're looking at, and it's a little bit of what we're going to look at. And one of the questions is it God's work or is it our work? That's a good question, isn't it? Is what God wants for us, what Christ died for, is that God's work or is it our work? I'm going to read a scripture right here that kind of gives us the answer. It says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So the answer to the question is yes. It's both. It's God that works in us, but we have a part in that work also, don't we? And so we want to make sure that we're understanding how our salvation works. Now, some of you read the Bible, and there's three words in there that have to do with salvation that a lot of times we read over those things and don't catch what they mean. So these are theological terms. So the first theological term is justification. And justification happens in the past. And it affects our spirit. And what happens is 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ died on that cross to pay for our sins. And so we are now completely forgiven. And because those sins are wiped away and that the thing in us, the rebellion and the rejection of God that was in us has been forgiven and wiped off the plate by the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, we now can come into his presence and his spirit joins with our spirits and we are born again. So the result is that we are born again. We are a new creation. We have a new heart in Christ. And the penalty of our sin is removed, and it's wiped away. Now, I know for some people that's a hard thing to accept, that I can't do anything, that simply because God loves me, simply because Christ died for me and paid the penalty for my sins, all that's wiped away. And even though I may not have done or said or thought or had the right attitudes, as far as God is concerned, that's been paid. And it's been covered. And I can come into his presence. And that was taken care of. Every sin that was ever committed, that is committed now, or will be, past, present, future, those are all paid for. We are justified in God's sight. The second is sanctification. That happens in the present, right now. And that has to do with our soul, our mind, our will, our emotions, who we are as a person. And the result of our sanctification is a renewed mind. In other words, we don't think the way we used to think. We don't feel the way we used to feel. We don't desire the things that we used to desire. But it's a process of God changing us to think, to feel, to want what he wants. And the deliverance in that is from the power of sin being removed from our life. Now, that's a progressive thing, right? All of us still struggle with that. How many of you found that after you gave your hearts to Christ, you still struggled with temptation? Is there anybody in here who never struggled with temptation after they gave their hearts to Christ? So that's an ongoing process. The third term is glorification. And all three of these are parts of salvation. And the glorification takes place in the future. And it has to do with our body. Right now, we live in this body, and we have a human nature. And it struggles, and it fights against that new born-again creation that is there. How many of you find at times you want things that you know God doesn't want, but you want them? How many of you find that sometimes you yield to your flesh or to your human nature, and you say and you do things that you know is not what God wants, and you feel guilty about even thinking about it? You feel guilty as you do it, and you feel guilty after you do it, because it's not what you really want to do, but there's something inside of you that pulls you in that direction. Well, there will be a day when that human nature, that mortality, is swallowed up in immortality, and all sin is taken away. And we will see him as he is, and his love will wash us clean and completely change us. And we will have not only a resurrected body, but we will be in God's presence, and the presence of sin will be removed from our lives. It's kind of hard for us to think, isn't it? That we will be in a place where everyone who is with us wants more than anything else to please God and to love as God loves. So we've already been made righteous in God's eyes, or justified. That's part of our salvation. Christ alone did that. Someday we will be delivered from the presence of sin or glorified with Christ. We will be the person Christ died for us to be. And we really have no power to make that happen either, do we? That's the miraculous power of God at the resurrection. Here's where we are. Getting unhooked from the power of sin. That's our sanctification. That's being made holy, or having our lives be separate, or having a pure heart, to whereas we have given ourselves wholly to God, we want to live and to do the things he wants us to do. The Bible calls us saints, which simply means that we belong to God, that we are his, or sanctified. So those are the three areas of salvation. The one that we're dealing with here on this earth is the part where God works in us. He's already put in us that Holy Spirit. He works in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. But we got a part in that too, don't we? He's put it on the inside, but God expects us to act to work that out of us to the outside. In other words, if we do not take an effort at following Christ, are we going to see the things that Christ wants in our lives today? They're just not going to happen. He's not going to zap us. I know a lot of people who give their hearts to Christ and then they sit and they wait for God to do something in their lives to change who they are. But God wants you to be a participant with him. He's going to do that work, but you participate with him. I like the New Living Translation of this because it really helps to make it clear. Put into action God's saving work in your lives. In other words, you have to put into action the things that God has done in your life. You have to put that in action in your life. How do you do that? By obeying God with deep reverence and fear. Obeying God with deep reverence and fear. Think about that. God has given his only son to die on the cross to pay for all of our sins, to buy us back from our rebellion, put his spirit in our heart to guide us and lead us to become the people that he wants us to be. But we have to follow him. It's about a kingdom. We have to put in action his saving work. What did he save us from? He saved us from ourselves, didn't he? God is the Lord. Think about this. Obeying God with deep reverence and fear, for God is working in you. Do you stop sometimes and you think, you know what? God is working inside of me. Not just somebody, but God, the creator of the universe, the authority over everything, the one who can decide who goes to heaven and who goes to hell, the one who decides whether we live or whether we die. The one who can orchestrate any event in our life that he wants, who is in control of all things, he is working in our lives. Sometimes I think in our Western culture, we kind of forget who God is. We don't think of God as the creator of the universe, the King of Kings, the one who is in charge. We want to think of God sometimes as this gentle giant in the sky who is there to help us with whatever we need. Not someone who has a kingdom that he wants us to come into. We don't always look at God with reverence, deep reverence and fear. You know, I was talking to a guy yesterday, and he was telling me about how he just feels like he's drifted away, and he doesn't know exactly what's happened in his life and why he feels a little more distance towards God. And I pulled out a verse that I'm going to show you in the next verse that we look at. And I said, well, here are the three things that God says he wants you to do as you follow him. You know, are you doing those three things? And he says, well, I'm doing one of them. I said, well, if you went to work and your boss said, here's what I want for you. This is what I want you to do. And you said, well, I'm going to do this one right here because I think this is good. And I may do this other one because sometimes I think that's good. But this third one, I really don't think is necessary. I'm not going to do it. Would you say that to your boss? No, I wouldn't say that to my boss. Why not? Because you're afraid you'd get what? So you have more respect for the authority of your boss than you do for God? Because when God tells you something to do, you don't take it as seriously. You don't take it with respect and reverence that you would from your boss, but it's coming from God. Sometimes I think we get a little too familiar with who God is, and we feel like when God speaks to us, we can decide whether or not we're going to obey that or not, whether or not that's really important or whether it's not. Rather than looking and seeing this is the creator of the universe, he is the one who sets in motion the way things are and the consequences that come from our choices and our actions. And when he speaks to us, we need to listen because what he tells us is the truth. And so we need to make sure that what he tells us to do, we're going to do. Jesus Christ died for us because the Bible says we were lost. In other words, God and what he created for us is right over here. But we've wandered away looking at other things, thinking other things are more important than God, desiring other things rather than to be with him and have his purposes for our lives unfold, even to know what they are. We're searching for all these other things, and all of a sudden we don't know where God is, and we aren't in control of our lives like we thought, and usually we come to a point where things start to fall apart. That's when we look back, and we realize we're in the kingdom of self. We're our own God deciding what we think is best to do. And Jesus Christ died to pay the penalty for that rejection that we might come back into God's presence completely forgiven with God's arms now wide open to accept us in that we might have a relationship with him and he might guide us through our lives because he is our authority that we recognize. And that's the position that God wants us in. For God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. In other words, on my own, I desire things different from what God desires for me. How many of you are like that? I have good intentions. I think that my desires all would line up with what God wants. But as I start following what I want, I start to notice that I'm manipulating others for my own good. I start to notice I'm trying to manipulate situations for my good. I'm really losing track of what God might be doing in other people. I'm more interested in what's happening to myself. And God gives me that desire to look past what's happening at the moment, to look at what he is doing eternally in people's hearts and in my own heart. And he gives me the power to be able to not do what I want at the moment, but to do what I believe that he is leading me to. And as I do that, as I obey him, Jesus Christ tells us that that really means that I am loving him. He demonstrated his love for me when Christ died on the cross for me. I demonstrate my love for him when I turn to him, accept him as the authority he is, and I obey what he is telling me to do. And when I obey him, I bring myself into the Father's love. So rather than having to discipline me, he can show his love to me by helping and blessing me and working in my life, kind of like what Carlos was talking about. Carlos is trying to follow God in every area of his life. And when life gets difficult and he's got a challenge, he leaves that in God's hands and tries to follow the Lord, and God can bless him. And Jesus Christ says also in John 14:21, that he will reveal himself to us. And his presence in our lives gives us that power to be able to follow him. He died for everyone so that those who receive his new life will no longer live for themselves. Instead, they will live for Christ, who died and was raised for them. So Christ died in order for us to become the people that God created us to be. To know him, to hear his voice, to follow him, to see his plan for our lives, and to live that plan out. And to find all those things that the Bible say are beyond our imaginations, things we would not even dare to ask that God could do through us. He gives our lives eternal meaning. And we can enjoy all of those great blessings of God because of Christ as we live for him. Here's the practical part of it, and this is the last verse we're going to look at. So flee passions. Sometimes it's translated desires or sometimes lusts. But it basically means those things that we really, really, really want. The things that we're passionate about. I want a lot of different things. I want to be loved. I want to be accepted. Most of us want to be accepted in a group. We want to be loved. I want to be respected. I want to be successful. Some people want a lot of things. Some people want pleasure. But the things that we desire, the things that we want, when we're younger, we don't realize they won't fulfill us. How many of you are old enough, like I am, to realize that some of the things that you chased after, even after you got them, you found out that they did not fulfill your life like you thought they would? But when you're younger, you thought they would, didn't you? You thought, if I could just be this, if I could just have this, if I could just be with this person, if I could just have this possession or get this promotion or have this debt, you thought, then all my life will fall in place. But as you get older, you start to realize that nothing in this world can give that to you. Only God can give you that deep peace of knowing that you are exactly where you were created to be. And you are doing exactly what God wants you to do. So it tells us to flee the passions and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace along with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. I want you to look at the chain that's in here. The world understands that I have to flee my temptations. They understand that there's things in this world that try to lure me away, that if I fall and if I let my desires control me, the cost of it is going to be greater than what I want. And as we get older, we start to realize that more and more and more. A lot of times I have people who tell me about that pull for sex and for pornography. And when they're younger, they feel like they can do that, they can hide that. But as they get older, they start to realize that everything's hidden will at one time be what? Uncovered. And when it's uncovered, the cost of it is so great. You can lose your wife. You can lose your family. There's all kinds of things like that. The desire for money. I've known many, many people that felt like if they worked really hard right now, they could have enough stuff that their family life would be great. And then later on, they would have that family life with all the things that they could enjoy. And so they sacrificed and they sacrificed and they worked and they worked and they worked and they worked. And their children grew up and grew up and grew up. And now they've got enough money they can sit back and retire. But guess what? They don't have any relationship with their kids. So the people they worked to enjoy it with no longer have time for them. And they realize that there was a cost to the things that they were doing. And so the world realizes that if I start to get pulled into alcohol where it controls my life and I lose my family and I lose my job, I've got to flee from that. I've got to cut it off. I got to go to some type of addiction center. I've got to do something that allows me to remove that temptation from my life. I cannot survive with that temptation right next to me. I can't resist it. So everyone knows that, but the Bible says that the next step is that I have to what? Pursue. Jesus tells a little parable. He says there was a man who was possessed by a demon. You guys remember this parable? And the demon was cast out. And the demon went and he walked through dry places. And he found seven other demons. And he came back. And he found the house, or the man's heart, was empty and swept and cleaned. This guy had fleed the problem. He had cleaned his life up. The problem was, it was empty. There was a vacuum there that was not filled with what God wanted to fill it. And so when time was later and that demon came back and found it empty, he went back in with seven other demons and the state of the man was worse than before. How many of you have known someone who's been addicted to drugs or other things like that? And they stopped for a while and they tried to clean their life up, but they never really started to follow Christ and fill their life with the things that he wanted. And so as time went by, they started to slide, they started to drift, and the next thing you know, their life was worse off than it was before. And where it's really worse is not where you see it. Where it's really worse is where their hope for help or salvation is now gone. Because they've tried it, and it didn't work. So the Bible tells us that we can't just flee, but we have to pursue. What do we pursue? We pursue righteousness. Our righteousness is in Christ. We pursue what is right standing before God, or righteousness. And that is when our lives are in Christ. In other words, my will, my emotions, my heart is totally committed and set apart to appreciating, thanking, loving Christ for what he has done, and following him in order to show my love back to him. When I am in Christ, when I pursue righteousness, it allows me to have faith. And for God to develop a strong faith in my life. A faith that says, I will cling to you no matter what happens. And as I cling to him, and I see him come through in my life in different circumstances, he reveals to me his power. Kind of like Jesus walking on the water when at first they were frightened and they thought, this is a ghost. And he says, no, it's me. And Jesus Christ walked across those circumstances using it as a bridge in order to reveal the power of God to overcome any circumstances. And as they experience each episode of that, and as you experience each episode of that, your faith grows. But you don't have that if you're not in the boat with Christ. But if you're in the boat with Christ, God can work in the storms to reveal who he is to you and strengthen your faith. And fill you with love where you know no matter what's happening in my life, I don't know what's going on here. I may not know who I can trust, but I know this. God loves me and he's still here and he will come through. And so I am filled with his love, which enables me, instead of worrying about myself, to look at what God might be using this for to work in the lives of others and to love them. So he fills my life with love. Faith that works by love or is expressed by love. We can't have true love without faith. And then peace. That peace that says it is well with my soul. That peace that says, you know what, I don't know what's going on in the world. I don't know what these people are doing, but I do know this. God has a purpose for me. And he may not show me the whole future, but he's going to show me what I need to do in this next step to be true to him. I may not even know what the effects of these are going to be, but I do know this, that God wants me to be honest, that God wants me to be kind, that God wants me to be gentle, that God wants me to be generous, that God wants me to act in a way that is Christ-like. And as I seek to do that, God gives me the ability to do that, but he also gives me an overwhelming peace of knowing this. When God is smiling at me, I don't have to worry about anything else. I don't have to worry about what it looks like. I know God will bring me through. And if God wants to use me at this point as an example of faithfulness, and I die, the worst thing that can happen to me is that I go to heaven and I am in his presence. The third thing is that they are supposed to pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace along with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. Let me tell you something. There aren't a whole lot of those around. And I'm talking about when you consider the population of the world. That's one of the reasons we come in church, because there's a lot of them in here. When I go to work, or when I used to go to work, because now this is my work, but only for the last 6 years. Before that, when I used to go to work, it was not filled with a bunch of people who were trying to follow God no matter what. I found those here. I found those in other relationships, people from here that I met in different places. But you have to have people in your life that are calling upon the Lord from a pure heart. In other words, they are trying above everything else to serve God themselves, to find the way to be true to God, to find the wisdom of God, to know what to do. And you sit down together with those people and you walk through life with those people, and what do? They strengthen you. They encourage you. They help you have wisdom to know what to do. They warn you when your thinking is starting to slip. But you need those people in your life. So if you want to become a man of God, if you want to become a woman of God, you have to first off recognize that I cannot live a life where I separate myself from God and go do what I want and be a man of God. I'm kidding myself if salvation means that little to me. But I am going to flee. I am going to try to separate myself from the things that I know are pulling me in the wrong direction, away from God. And I am going to pursue my relationship with Christ first. And then I am going to pursue letting him develop me. I'm going to cooperate with him as he helps develop in me those fruits of the Spirit. And I am going to find the connections in the body of Christ that God created me for, not just because I need the help from them. I need the encouragement from them. I need the strength from them. But because they need the encouragement from me. They need the strength from me. God did not create us to independently worship him. He created us to be the body of Christ, the bride of Christ. He created us where we need one another in order to gain that wisdom and to allow his Spirit to physically touch us, because Christ is in the hearts of other people at times when we need the physical touch. And so those three things need to be present. But if those three things are present in our lives, then we are cooperating with God. We are putting into action those things that work out our salvation. And so I ask you, as you are listening and thinking about those things, are you putting God's saving work, the things that Christ did on that cross, are you putting them into application in your life? Are you pursuing those things? Are you looking for your place in God's creation? Not just where God works in your life, but where you are able to be the tool he created you to be in the lives of others. Well, we want that righteousness, that faith, that love, and that peace. And we know that there is great blessings when we have those Christ-centered relationships with others and what they mean to us. So I want to just ask you right now, as we get ready to pray, are you fleeing those things that pull you from Christ? Are you pursuing those things that Christ died for? And are you taking that time to develop those Christ-centered relations? What am I trying to say? Those friendships with the people that God put in your life, where your spirit knows this person's in my life because when I'm with them, God speaks to me. Are you pursuing those relationships, or do you not have time for those? Those are critical issues that we want to think about. Let's pray. Father, when we stop and just think about who you are, when we stop and we just think of the expanse of even this world itself, let alone think of the expanse of the heavens and the universe and all the things that are beyond that. And when we realize that you created each one of them and put every speck of dust in the universe in its place, that you created each person for the time you created them and put them in the place that you wanted them to be. When we think of how intricate all of creation is and how we cannot even understand how our own bodies can function so miraculously, and yet you knitted all of that together, and in comparison to the universe, it's a little thing to you. When we think about how great you really are, our hearts just ask, how could you see us? How could we have any importance? How could we have any value? And then yet, your Holy Spirit touches our hearts. And all of a sudden, somehow, you reveal to us that you're there. That you see us. That you're speaking to us. That you love us. That your arms are open. And that we have that choice of whether or not we will step up and let go of everything and grab a hold of you. Or whether we will back away and push away. You are amazing. Help us to never forget how great you are. Help us never to forget how you expressed exactly what the love in your heart was as you came on this earth in a human body, limiting yourself from all of your glory, suffering as we do and dying on a cross, a horrible death, in order to pay the penalty for the sins that we had committed. Many without even knowing we were doing it. But you forgave us because we didn't know what we were doing. And you loved us and you provided a way for us to come to you. And so, Father, we ask you to forgive us. We ask you to enable us to become the people that Christ died for us to be. Give us the strength to see the things that distract our minds from you. Give us the strength and the ability to grow as we try to pursue you. And give us the wisdom to surround ourselves with people that can help us grow in our faith as we all seek to serve you. We love you in Christ's name, and we worship you. Amen.